this time we're going to turn towards our kind of a sharing message at this point, and I'll go ahead and hand the podium over to Pastor Manny.
Acts 26:19 says, "So King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance." This is a classic testimony about obedience to God-given vision. If you understand our church mission and vision statement, there's a line at the bottom. It says, "Seek the lost through local evangelism, church planting, and global missions." We want to become a community of reproducing disciples who seek the lost through local evangelism, church planting, and global missions. We thank the Lord that we planted a church 4 years ago because of our mission and vision statement. 4 years ago, we planted a church in San Gabriel Valley area. And as we look back, we thank the Lord for His wonderful blessings. This is a quick summary to count the Lord's blessings. Over the last 4 years, over 150 adults make decision for Christ. They accepted Jesus into their hearts as their personal Savior and Lord. And now on any given Sunday, their Sunday average attendance has gone up to 220, and their monthly giving, average giving, is $15,000. These are indeed blessings of God. One of the core reasons why we could experience such blessings has to do with obedience. I thank the Lord when we started this church plan 4 years ago, six couples, they obey God's calling. Their obedience to God's calling is so crucial in church planting. You're probably aware that we have been praying for our next church plan, specifically targeting Asian American. As we have been praying for our next church plan endeavor, God has also called a few of us to be part of this great work. Thank the Lord for their obedience. And this morning, we're going to hear three of their testimonies. I trust that as you hear their testimonies about how they obey God's calling, you will be blessed and you will be encouraged. And first of all, we have Pastor John A., followed by Deacon Donald Yuen, and followed by Sister Katie Wong. Pastor John A., please.
First, I want to thank Bianca for sharing. Bianca, I've prayed for you numerous occasions, reading your letters and everything, really cool. When Bianca said years ago that she was going to go to Mills for school, I prayed a prayer, almost a sigh, really. God be with her. Because when she explained the context, I knew what the context it was. And so I'm glad God has and will work in your ministry over there. Yes, we have started planning a church. We're endeavoring to do so. Here's some pictures. Here's a group picture. Here's Justin leading worship again. He can do it in shorts over there. Here's me probably speaking and Andrew looking somewhere else. We have small group time. We'll have that tonight. We eat a lot. On the back of the program, our announcements, we're going to meet at Terry and Esther's place. That's the address. We eat well when we're there. That's not an invitation for all of you to show up, especially the college guys over there, because then we'll run out of food. Here's sharing and praying, and we have fellowship time. And so some pictures for you to look at. We've had about, what, 5 meetings or 6 meetings or so, and we're having them consistently every single Sunday. So I'm going to share with you how God has led me to get involved in this and kind of begin this. In C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, Mr. Beaver makes a statement, Aslan is on the move. The statement gave perspective and intensity to the situation, especially to the 4 main characters, the 4 humans. The famous line meant something was going to happen. The tide was going to turn. The situation was going to be redefined simply because this massive lion, Aslan, willed it. It did not matter what any of the characters were going to do at that point. Aslan's sovereign will was being exercised. It had a prevailing effect in the story. God is calling me to plant a church because God's sovereign will has a prevailing effect. I'm obeying God's will. I've been praying about church planning and planning this church for several years at the request of Pastor Benny. It's been a long time. It's been years of praying and mulling over just the idea of it. It wasn't something that came 6 months ago or 8 months ago. It's been several years. Even at the time when we planted our last church plant that Pastor Benny shared about. So it's been churning for years, and the butter of this church plant has begun. And the meetings, we have met God and experienced His blessings. And God is on the move. God's been moving years now in planning the idea within our denomination. Our Southern Baptist denomination has readjusted their leadership, resources, and finances to specifically plant churches. And God surely has been on the move. Even before our denominational shifting, God has planted and helped Pastor Benny develop a vision for our church. And he had read it to you, and I'm going to read it again. SCBC will be a community of reproducing disciples who seek the lost through local evangelism, church planting, and global missions. It was through this statement that our St. Gabriel Valley church plant was birthed. And FCBC now is in the business of church planting. God has ordained this church to do so. So we have to get used to it. God is surely on the move. When Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What was Jesus' response? His response was, be like children. His lesson to his disciples was humility. Humility is the entrance into the kingdom of heaven because Jesus saw their pride. It takes humility to see what God is doing. Pride just gets in the way. At the end of the passage, Jesus talks about the lost sheep and leaving them, lost sheep and leaving the 99 to rescue the one. At the end, Jesus concludes, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. The will of God is to find his lost sheep. That's what we're trying to do in this church plant, to bring people to Jesus. Jesus saw the multitudes and had great compassion on them. They were distressed and downcast, sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Some of us in this church have gone to plant a church to fulfill the request of Jesus Christ. Some are going to with me to fulfill that request of Jesus. Some of you will go later. To beg God to send workers to harvest souls, as God being the Lord of the harvest, although this statement that Jesus had said and was echoed centuries ago, still hold true today, that the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. God is surely on the move to harvest. People ask me how this church plant will succeed, how it will attract people to come to church. And I think about that. My education, church experience, certainly prepares me to lead this church plant. Members that have invested into this plan are very talented, very capable. FCBC support will certainly help this church plant succeed. But really, the answer is none of the above. The answer is the manifestation, the presence of God, of Jesus Christ Himself, Emmanuel, God with us, to be exact. Despite talent, experience, great people, a great sending church, Jesus attracts people and Jesus makes it successful. I know of no other way to manifest Jesus than to walk with Jesus and pray for the presence of Jesus. Prayer will make or break this church plant. This Asian American church plant is not about me. It's not about Pastor Benny. It's really not about our denomination. God is on the move, and God's vision transcends all of us. As God is moving, I'm moving with Him. I'm part of a tidal wave of God's sovereign will, and so I'm going surfing with Jesus Christ. Thanks.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I have also decided to join the Asian American church plant effort. Those of you that were here a couple of weeks ago when everybody was up at family camp, we had a guest speaker here, Dr. James Wang from our missionary to Kenya, right? And he said, everybody here in this room is American-born except for two people, myself and Donald sitting over there. Remember that? Contrary to what he said, I am American-born. In fact, I am third generation through my mother, all right, which makes my children fourth-generation Asian-Americans. I'm here to share with you the burden that God has laid upon my heart for this church. And like John, it's something that has been going on for several years now, even as far back as San Gabriel Valley Branch effort. And it's not just a burden that God has placed on my heart, but I believe it's a burden that He gives to each one of us. And so I'm sharing it today so that you and I collectively can bear that burden together. And my burden basically comes from this passage that you are very familiar with. In fact, I still remember as a preschooler here at church 50 years ago learning this little song that goes with this verse, right? This is when Jesus calls His very first disciples, and He said, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And through the years, I've had to take a hard look in the mirror at myself and ask the hard question. Because this verse not only is the story of the first disciples, but it defines who we ought to be as Christians. And if I am not a fisher of men, then I am not what Christ wants me to be. And I say that's a hard look in the mirror because I've been here for 50 years, as I mentioned. And I've taught Sunday school for 30 plus years. And I've sung in the choir for another 30 plus years. And I've served on the deacon board for 15 plus years. For the last 10 years, I've been teaching individuals how to become Sunday school teachers. I've been HICOI president. I've been CCF, college fellowship president. I've even preached from this pulpit. But I have to take a hard look in the mirror. Because if I am not a fisher of men, I am not what Christ wants me to be, first and foremost. And so this is the burden that God has placed upon my heart, and certainly it has come about in my life because of the India short-term missionary trips we've been taking. there I have the opportunity to share directly the gospel with people that have never heard of Christ before. And we've seen hundreds, thousands of people come to Christ. And most precious of all, we've had the opportunity to set up the beginnings of house churches in India. And they always say, be careful when you go on a short-term missionary trip, right? Because sometimes God transforms your life, and He has mine. And if God can use ordinary people like you and I to go and share the gospel and see people come to Christ, certainly we can do the same here and start a new church plant. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that it's more difficult for people to come to Christ here. But that's exactly what this verse says. It says, come follow me and He will make me a fisher of men. Doesn't matter my past, my experience, my talents. It's my willingness to drop my nets, to let go of them, of the things that I think I'm good at, the things I feel most comfortable with, and to follow Jesus and allow Him to make me a fisher of men. So this is the reason why I've decided to join the Asian American church effort. This is the first time in my life that I am able to invite people that I would not ordinarily be able to invite here at this church. For example, this is my neighbor. I invited her. She is from India. Not only she's from India, but she's a Muslim. And I invited her to come join our church plant. And she came. And she had a great time. The fellow in the middle, smiling, is my coworker. He's Vietnamese-American, and he's got a Filipina fiance. Difficult to invite both of these people to a Chinese church all the way down in Chinatown. You see what I'm saying? But God has now opened the doors, and the core group of people that have been coming to the church, they've caught the vision. Last week, we invited 15 visitors, 10 of which came. When was the last time you seen 10 to 15 visitors here in an English-speaking congregation? Unheard of. This week, tonight, we have another 15 invited. This thing is ready to explode. I don't know what God's going to do. If you want to get on involved in winning people to Christ, then this is your opportunity to invite your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, that you would normally have a difficult time inviting them down to here, to a Chinese church in Chinatown. God is blessing our little church effort, and we're just waiting to see what He's going to do next. In closing, I had lunch with Pastor John several months ago, and I told him, John, I don't want to teach. I don't need to be a leader. I don't even need to be a deacon at this church plant. If all I can do is just set up the chairs such that other people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that would give me the greatest joy in my life. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Katie Wong, and I'm the daughter of Dr. Wesley K. Wong and the late Margaret Wong. And I just wanted to share with you my testimony of how God called me to the church plant. But before I do that, I just wanted to give you maybe a couple of things that might put into perspective why I feel this is such a big decision for me and why I truly feel this is God, as opposed to my own ambition or my own inclination. So first of all, I was born and raised here at FCBC, and growing up in FCBC, it causes a lot of comfort and familiarity for me, which is not something that I would necessarily want to leave willingly, because I know that here at FCBC, I have a network of brothers and sisters who can readily encourage me and edify me and even admonish me in order to point me back to Christ. And so it's something I really value. The second thing is I'm not typically a risk taker. I don't really like the unknown, and I don't like when things are ambiguous or kind of hazy. It makes me kind of uncomfortable, and I kind of just want to make things clear. Like when I commit to something, I want to know the steps in order to get there and kind of like the plan laid out. So I guess those are two things to keep in mind as I share. Back in January, Pastor John Ng gave a message at worship at 11 that alluded to the fact that FCBC would be starting a church plant. Little did I know, like as John said, that it was like years in the making. I just thought it was another message. And to be honest, I actually wasn't convicted of the message. Sorry, John. I stood by it, and like I appreciated it, and I listened to it, and I agreed with it, especially because it was part of our vision statement. But I actually didn't feel like I personally needed to drop everything here at FCBC and go and pursue a church plant. So I kind of left service kind of apathetic toward the whole thing. But afterwards, I went outside, and I was able to speak with an older spiritual mentor of mine. And she was actually the one who talked to me and shared with me that she was really blessed by the message, and she was really touched by it in a way where she was going to start praying for her possible involvement. And I think that was the beginning of God working in me in a way where, like, oh, look at her faithfulness, look at her willingness to drop everything here, all of the ministries, all of the relationships she has, and pursue me and obey me. And so I think that was the beginning of God working in me. A couple weeks after that, I was convicted personally to go on a long-term fast. And at the beginning, I had a number of things that I wanted to pray for. However, the church plant was not one of them, and it actually wasn't even on my radar. And it wasn't on my radar until approximately 3.5 weeks into my fast. And so on February 27th, I got a Facebook message from Pastor John Ng. And on the Facebook message, he basically said, "Hi, Katie. I'm starting a church plant, and I'd actually like you to come with me." And I was like thinking, what the heck is this? I was thinking, John, did you really pray about this? Did you think about this before you like typed up this message? Because it seems so casual. It just seems like such a flippant message to send to me. But little did I know is that that message started to spark a lot of curiosity in me, and a lot of questions started to be generated about the church plan, about my possible involvement in it. So that night at ESPN, John led, and he actually kind of formally announced that he would be stepping down from youth ministry and pursuing this church plan. And so after I heard everything that he had to share, I basically committed to praying for it, because it allowed me to have more of a direction for my prayers and my possible role in the church plant. And so from that point on till the end of my fast, I had a period of really persistent prayer and a period of wrestling within myself for the church plant. And a lot of these things I was wrestling with was my hesitation to leave FCBC, as I said earlier. I didn't want to leave FCBC. I didn't want to leave my family behind here. I didn't want to drive further to church, an extra 20 miles. And then I didn't want to leave behind ministries here. And I think that personally was the most difficult, because I had to come to terms with the idea of not being able to go back to certain ministries, not being able to go back to Arizona, to the Navajo Reservation, not being able to finish counseling my camp girls, or not being able to continue youth worship prayer. And so I think that was probably the most work that God had to do. He had to bring me to a point where I was really resistant, to a point where I would be okay letting go and being okay seeing that God is going to take care of those people. And so let me just fast forward to the end of my fast. I'm running out of time, but at the last week of my fast, I knew that this was kind of crunch time, and I knew that God was going to be giving me his answer. And so that Monday, March 11th, 2013, during my morning quiet times, I prayed again about the church plant. And I only had one question for God. And that question was, God, what do you want me to do? And God was so clear, and he was really straightforward. He basically said, go. And my first thought was, I'm really scared. Do you really want me to go? And he said, yes, go in faith, go in prayer. I am with you. And after that, I couldn't say no. Like, you can't say no to something like that because it would just be outright disobedience to him. And so I said yes. And after I said yes, I was just filled with, like, an amazing and unexplainable joy and burden for the plant that I didn't have before. And so I knew it was, like, even further confirmation for me. And so I think during that time, God was really challenging me. He was really challenging me to push me, like, Katie, how much do you love me? How much do you want to see my faithfulness to you? And how much do you want to obey me? Because if you love me, like in Luke 10:27, it says, we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. And if you really, truly love me, you'll obey me. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a person who built her house on the sand, but I wanted to be a person who built her house on the rock, on a firm foundation. And so I said yes. And I think that obedience and that faithfulness that he has for me, I could just see that he's going to be doing it in this church plant. So I'm really excited. I'm really anticipating all the good things that he's doing in this church plant and what he will do in the future. Thanks.
In closing, please let me share with you two maps. First is the map showing how extensive Christianity has spread just 20 years after the Church of Antioch was established. Antioch, the gospel was spread to different parts of Europe. Look at another map. If you look at the dark portion of this map, basically, the dark portion, the dark blue portion, indicates how Christianity spread 300 years after the Church of Antioch was established. But please also go to the light blue. The light blue portion indicates how Christianity spread 600 years after the Church of Antioch was established. Now, if you do a quick comparison, 20 years after the church was found, and then 300 years after the church was found, compared to 600 years after the Church of Antioch was found, you realize the Church of Antioch really impacted the world. It was not just the nearby, you know, area, cities, but this little church basically impacted the entire Europe. One of the core reasons why they could become such an impactful church was found in Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. The text says, now there were at Antioch, this is a familiar passage to most of us, but if you understand the last part, it really gives us a good answer to explain why. Keep that in mind. This is about the Church of Antioch. Now there were at Antioch, and here the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, when they have fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, yeah, Barnabas, you know, and Paul, they were obedient to this God-given vision. But it's not only the two of them were obedient to God-given vision. The rest of the church were also obedient to this vision given by God. As a result, they became an impactful church that touched many lives in the entire Europe. Obedience plays a very, very important role in church planting, in extending God's kingdom. I'm just thrilled as I heard the testimonies from these brothers and sisters. I'm sure there will be more to come. But I just pray that as you hear these testimonies this morning, you can really show your support by praying for the church plan, by even, you know, make yourself available to God. Maybe you are like Katie. Maybe you is never under your radar. But what happened if God calls you to participate? It's going to take a lot of hard work, but if God does call you, let us be obedient to His calling. And if we are obedient to His call, we're going to see great things happen. Thank God for the obedience of these brothers and sisters. And God used their obedience to confirm now is the time to proceed with our Asian American church plan. Pastoral staff and deacons, we unanimously have decided to move forward with the Asian American church plan. Therefore, in the upcoming annual business meeting, we will, number one, vote on creating the position of the church plan pastor. This is a new position. Number two, we're going to recommend that Pastor John Ng will be the candidate for this work. And a search committee will be formed to validate his call. So let us continue to pray and show our support. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you very much for the testimonies we heard today. Maybe there are people who are like Sister Katie and Deacon Donald. We pray that they would also be obedient to your calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.